This is Renegade Broadcasting. Everybody, happy Monday. Hope you all had a good weekend. Well, what do you know? This is the last week of frickin' October. Well, a week from today is the 31st, but last full week of October. Unbelievable, man. Wow. Yeah. And every day that goes by, we're getting reminded more and more that winter's around the corner, getting colder and colder. I hope my sound is okay. I had an error message when I logged on to Skype, but I usually ignore them and they go away. Sometimes it means something, sometimes it doesn't. You never know with this damn thing. But, Sean just told me I'm coming through clear, so that's good. All right, hopefully I'll be able to take calls. I don't know. We'll have to see. Anyway, picking up what we left off on Friday, this discussion of Christian hypocrisy. And by the way, before I continue, I do need to mention this. I don't want to come across as a hypocrite myself in talking about the hypocrisy of Christianity, because let's face it, guys, at one time or other, we're all hypocrites. Hopefully not intentionally. But, you know, as humans, we're imperfect, right? We do things sometimes that we don't intend to do or say things that we don't mean. It's just how it works. We don't, you know, do it intentionally, hopefully. Some people do. Hell yes. But most of us, I would hope, have a desire to do what's right and to treat people decently, the ones that are worthy of being treated decently, that is. But, you know, it's inevitable. We don't always practice what we preach. You know, we try to do our best. But my point is, I'm not trying to be hypocritical and making it look like only Christians are hypocrites and the rest of us are, you know, are better people. No. My point is, most Christians are arrogant son of a bitches, and they have no basis for their arrogance, claiming to be holier than thous, when in fact they are, for the most part, raging hypocrites. Raging hypocrites. Not just as individuals, but of course, when we look collectively at the history of this cult, they have been overall anything but loving, anything but compassionate, anything but understanding, anything but holy, anything but righteous. As a whole, for the most part, they have been nothing but the antithesis of all these things that they claim to be. Far more hypocritical than the average non-Christian population, I might add. We all, from time to time, have this problem of hypocrisy, but nobody does it better than these son of a bitches. So that's why I'm pointing out the Christian hypocrisy. And I'm not the only one who has noticed this. The article I was quoting from last on Friday goes on to make some other interesting observations. And that article was from the Religion New blog, from their website. The article is called 72% Say Church is Full of Hypocrites. It goes on to say, quote, other researchers have found similar negative opinions about church or about churches. Researchers at Barna Group, a Christian survey organization, have found that young adults in particular are rejecting the institution, the Christian church, and Christianity in general because it is perceived to be anti-gay, too political, and hypocritical. There you go. And isn't that true? The church is over the top, ridiculously anti-gay. I'm not pro-gay, but I'm not, anti-gay to the point where I condemn everybody who's a homosexual. The homosexuality I condemn is, once again, you know, the gay pride parade bullshit, where they're all dressed in G-strings publicly. Isn't it funny that you can get arrested, for pulling over when your bladder is ready to burst and there's no gas station around? You run into the woods and you can get arrested as a sex offender for exposing yourself when there's nobody around except for the cop that chased you into the woods to see you, unless they're worried now that exposing yourself in front of a squirrel can somehow damage that squirrel. I don't know. But, I mean, it's so goddamn ridiculous. Well, of course, we know it is. This is all by design, of course. You know, they want to increase the prison population to keep the investors happy. But you know what I'm saying. They can fucking arrest you for that when it's quite obvious your only intent is to relieve yourself, and you're doing it privately, you know, in the woods. You're not out in the open. But nevertheless, they'll arrest you for that. But you can be a gay pride parader and flash your ass around in public, and they don't have a problem with that. Oh, son of a bitch, man. Anyway, when I talk about Christian hypocrisy as regarding homosexuals, it should be quite obvious what I'm talking about. They have driven, oh, hell only knows how many people they have driven to suicide over the years. Gay people who weren't of that ilk, the rabid, militant homosexual crowd, just people that, you know, because of circumstances out of their control, because of their upbringing, maybe they were abused or whatever. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why homosexuals, people become homosexuals, many of which are totally out of their control, but they make it out like all of them have made this choice for themselves. No, they have not, in most cases. They have not made a choice, you pieces of shit. Anyway. But, you know, that's the mentality that most Christians have. And so carte blanche across the board, they pass judgment, they condemn, they name call. That drives people into depression. Where's the love, you fucking Jesus freaks? Oh, I tell you, folks, if you don't get enraged with this, with these people, it's because you really don't understand them. Most of them, anyway. There's a few exceptions. You haven't experienced them enough. You've only had casual contact. You haven't gotten to know these people intimately. They are fucking assholes. I'm telling you now, they really are. The whopping bulk of them, I've dealt with them in my entire life. And I can tell you, this religion is toxic. I'm so sick and tired of them advertising themselves as loving and warm people. Like I said, the exceptions to that rule, the ones that are decent and loving and caring, it's not because of that goddamn religion that they're that way. That's just the kind of people they happen to be. And unfortunately, they got sucked up into the bullshit of that religion. And hopefully they'll leave it before it fucking ruins them. Anyway. It's kind of like, you know, we've got quite a few Brazilians in my town. And most of them are actually really decent people. They're hardworking. They're not coming here to suck off of, you know, going welfare. And yeah, I've gotten to know quite a few over the years. Very, very nice people. And I always think to myself, wow, that's how it should be. That's how it used to be in this country. And then I wonder how long before they get ruined. And by the way, they come over here legally, well, most of them anyway, the ones I know. They come over here legally. They go through the process to become citizens. They're not arrogant. They're not. Anyway, my point is, you know, a lot of them really are decent, and I wonder how long before this society that's been totally fucked up, how long before it ruins them? They come over here with innocence, with good-heartedness. How long before this society fucking ruins them? Or for that matter, I've worked over the years with quite a few people from, you know, young people just out of, you know, high school or out of college that have moved down here from, you know, way up in backwoods Maine. Well, backwards in a sense too, you know, they're not up to par with, you know, liberal society we have up here. You know, they're more conservative. They grew up on a farm, very innocent, you know. And sure enough, I've watched over time these kids get destroyed. They start out, you know, really innocent, kind of wet behind the ears type thing, but, you know, just really decent people. Their only exposure to the world has just been, you know, their family and close circle of friends who were raised the same way they were. Then they come down here and it fucks them up. This one woman, I'll never forget, she kind of took an interest in me. And you know, I was interested in her, too. But unfortunately, the interest died out pretty quick because she started getting in with the wrong crowd. And it just totally ruined her. Next thing you know, everything changed about her. She got her hair cut. She started swearing a lot. And, you know, not very becoming for a young woman. I mean, I swear too, but it just seeing how much of an innocent background she had, you know, and then just to see her go off the deep end so quickly, she started getting high and, you know, getting drunk and partying. Once they get a taste of that, it seems so exciting. Oh, I never had this experience before. I never had fun like this. What they think is fun. But it ruined her, you know. She became really sarcastic. Just not the sweet, innocent, lovable person that she once was. You know, it's sad, guys. It's sad. This is what tribal-controlled society does to people by design, to ruin them, break down your decency, your moral standards, everything that made you a good person, to absolutely destroy you. It's sad to watch, you know, sit back and watch this happen to so many people. It's a contagion that spreads like a deadly disease. And then, you know, you see third world countries that have tried to hold to their traditions, you know, but as westernization spreads, and we know what that means, westernization, it just ruins these countries, and it ruins the people as individuals. And in the meantime, to complete the picture, you start seeing McDonald's and Burger King's and Wendy's pop up on every street corner. So they ruined them. They ruined their personalities, their culture, and their diet. That completes the picture. The diet, so the brains aren't working properly. They're not able to see what's happening to them and to do anything about it. Anyway, enough of that. I'm rambling again. How did they even get off on this topic? Anyway. Let's look at another article here. Exposing the hypocrisy of this cult called Christianity. The website of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod carried an article entitled, "Most Child Molesters, Religious, Often Target Church Members." Once again, guys, this is a Christian publication. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod themselves admitting that most child molesters are religious and target for their victims, church members. Here's what the article stated. It's not unusual for hardcore child molesters with more sexual offense convictions, more victims and younger victims to be well-respected members of Christian organizations and to be actively involved as church leaders, warns Victor Veith, executive director emeritus of the Gunderson National Child Protection Training Center in Winona, Minnesota. Very interesting. So it's not just non-Christians that are, critical of Christianity. And this isn't even being critical. This is just pointing out facts. But, it's not just non-Christians that do this. So the Christian crowd can't say, "Oh, you're just quoting from those, the liberals or the hate mongers that hate us." Does that sound familiar? Who else says that? Who else pawns themselves off as victims when they're the victimizers? Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, where'd they learn that from? How many books have been put out there by Christians painting themselves as victims? Fox's Book of Martyrs. This has been going on for centuries. They want you to think that they have been targets of persecution throughout their history. But us persecutors? No, never. Jesus Christ, guys, search as you may, you will never find any group that has been more rabid persecutors than Christians. And, Christians will say, "Oh, those aren't real Christians." Oh, really? Well, they just happen to comprise the overwhelming bulk of your cult. And that's been the case all through the centuries. Still goes on today, even though they don't have the power of the state behind them and they're not killing people that disagree with them, although they'd like to. But they're still persecutors with their finger pointing and condemnations. Attacking the gay crowd, on and on and on and on and on. Oh, yes, they're still persecutors. And, in a sense, they still are killing the heretics, aren't they? Because they drive so many people over the edge to want to commit suicide. They depress them because they demean and demoralize them instead of reaching out a helping hand, a loving hand. If they're so concerned about people being sinners, or why the fuck aren't you doing what the great Jesus told you to do? Reach out to these people and let your light shine, assholes. Wow. Have you ever experienced this? Do you know what I'm talking about? This goddamn brazen in your face, vindictive, hateful hypocrisy of the Christian crowd. It's overwhelming, guys. It's ever present. Pick any church of your choice, and you will find most of the members are this way. It's always been this way. The religion breeds this kind of hypocrisy. Even though it says, judge not, how many of them are judgmental? That same book also says, you know, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You've got the apostles in pretty much every epistle judging. They're even told to judge righteous judgment. Well, define that any way you want. And they do. So if you call them on it and say you're being judgmental, oh no, I'm passing righteous judgment. Whatever the fuck, get out of here. Schizophrenic book with a schizophrenic message. It tells you not to judge, but yet it actually does tell you to judge. And that's all they ever fucking do 24/7 for the most part, most of them. Anyway, everyone has heard the horrific stories of Catholic priests molesting children, of course, on a grand friggin' scale. But this problem involves many lay people as well. It's not just priests or ministers doing this. Lay people as well. And it's much higher in Christian circles than in the general population, ladies and gentlemen. I've read many articles over the years by Christian writers admitting this, asking the question, what's wrong in the body of Christ? That's what they call the church. What's wrong when we have so many sinners in our midst professing the name of Jesus? Yeah, what is wrong? They'll never, ever admit that the problem stems from the goddamn religion itself. If there was anything to this religion, guys, you would see what the great Jesus talked about. You would see tares among the wheat, a few bad ones among the good. No, that's not what you see at all. You only see a few wheat among the tares. And yet Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Oh, there's another lie Jesus told. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Christian church, for the most part, is the gates, the very fucking gates of hell. Anyway, we got a caller here. Welcome to the show, caller. Maybe not. Yep, there it is. You're on.
Hey, Charlie, are you worried about persecuting gays now?
Oh, you got a new phone number, I see. Huh, gay boy? He must be gay himself. Well, let's see. Let me add him to the block list. Yep, there we go. Wow, I don't know what it cost you to buy to get a new landline or whatever it is, a new cell phone number, but you're going to have to do it again. Now that number is on the block list. Keep doing it. Keep changing your number, and I'll keep blocking. That's a familiar voice, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Remember him? Fuck nut. Anyway, and once again, I'm glad he called in. There's another good example of Christian hypocrisy. Does he call in with love? Oh, my brother, I'm so concerned about you. I really hope that you will come to the light one day and accept Jesus because, brother, I don't want to see you lost and be cast into the lake of fire where Yahweh will whack his little peepee watching you burn and burn and burn on and on and on. I want you to be saved in the glorious kingdom of heaven one day. No, no. Where's the love from these religious fucknuts? There isn't any, ladies and gentlemen. There isn't any. For the most part. Like I said, I've seen some exceptions. They are very rare indeed. On June 7th, 2015, the Reverb Press website reported in an article called Jim Bob Duggar, molestation is common in Christian families. Remember the Duggar family? That little reality show there? What the hell was the name of it now? I've seen several episodes years ago. I could give a shit about that. I would never tune in on my own, but, you know, this woman I was dating used to watch it. I'd be reading or something, but in the background, you couldn't miss hearing the show. And I used to get so sick to my stomach listening to the mother. Of all of them, she annoyed me the most. Always had this fake smile on her face. Everything was so happy and... oh, go lucky. I'm living here in Jesus land. Everything is so wonderful. Yeah, so wonderful because your little hubby happened to have a nice job making lots of money. So the illusion is created. Everything's fine. And our family is so wonderful because we have Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the whole thing crashed on her. You know, I'm not one to take pleasure in the miseries of others. But in that particular case, I was happy to see that. I really was, because I can't stand phony Christian fucking hypocrisy, trying to make them out look like they're just so happy, when usually it's based on just that. They're in a good financial position. But, you know, when something like that happens, oh, then the truth comes out. Things aren't so happy-go-lucky after all, are they? You don't have all your ducks in order, do you, lady? Anyway, I mean, I feel bad for the victim in that, you know, one of the daughters, it turns out. Was it the daughter or what? Yeah, I think it was one of the daughters, the younger daughters, got molested by the older brother. You know. So I feel bad for the daughter. That's you know, she's going to be fucked up for life, guys. Fucked up for life. So I certainly feel bad for her. But I don't feel bad for the mother. Don't feel bad for her at all. Goddamn phony finger pointing little bitch. Can't stand the phoniness, that fake aura of holiness and righteousness. It's so goddamn in your face fake. Anyway, here's what the article stated. Jim Bob Duggar made a statement to Fox News that seems to prove just how dangerous sexually repressive Christian doctrine is to children and teens. Oh, absolutely. I can tell you firsthand that is a very true statement. I've witnessed it over and over through the years. The more conservative, i.e. fanatic, a Christian home is, the greater the chances that the kids are going to turn out bad. Now, most Christians think it's the opposite. The more conservative you are, or in their way of putting it, the closer you are to Jesus, the better your kids are going to turn out to be. No, it's the other way around. It's the other way around. Because these conservative families restrict their kids so much, the leash they have them on is so short, that once they turn 18 and have some freedom now, they go off the deep end. The daughters get pregnant. You know, the sons are getting involved in, you know, drugs, you know, juvenile delinquency, breaking into places, stealing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've seen it many, many times. And then I would hear fellow church members talking about how shocked they are. I can't believe it. Of all families, that's the last one I would expect. What happened? They just don't get it, and they never will. They will never, ever admit. They won't even come to realize that the problem stems from their goddamn religion.
Yes.
Anyway, short break, guys. Yes. Right back.
How old are you, Billy?
I'm 26. I'm an entertainment lawyer in Beverly Hills.
Greetings, Renegade listener. Have you been enjoying the show? Well, then why don't you share it with your friends and family? Click on the show page and then find the social media links right under the description. or send out a message to an email list. Get the word out however you can. Don't be afraid of letting other people know that you listen to Renegade Broadcasting. You'd be surprised how many of them agree with what we're saying here. With your help, we'll be destroying the mass media's narrative in no time at all. Let's wake up the world, one share at a time.
Alright guys, welcome back. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for, you know, raising kids with high moral standards. Absolutely. You're failing in your duty as parents if you don't instill high moral standards in your kids. However, once you have done that and your kids start getting older now, in their, you know, early, mid, late teens, you have got to give them freedom. Give them the opportunity now. Show that you trust them and give them the opportunity. Let them hang out with their friends, not druggies, but you know what I'm saying. Turn them loose into the world, and hopefully they will shine their light, right? But when parents restrict them so that they can't even fucking breathe, you are breeding delinquency so that as soon as you turn them loose, they're going to go off the deep end. You're setting them up for failure when you become repressive. Anyway, you got a caller here. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hi, Father Charlie.
Hey, how's it going?
You have a lot of anger in your voice today.
Brother Vinny. Oh, I certainly do. I certainly do. They've wrecked enough years of my life.
Your friend called in. That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad he does that. It just proves my point.
Here's the great thing about it. It means he's listening to you.
Yeah.
He might, and I'm going to tell you why he might actually learn something. I remember him saying that he knows that 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah.
So he, you know, so at least he has questioned something in his life. Now the question really is,
he's tuning in for a reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here it is. Here's how it works, though. If he really thinks that 9/11 is the only lie that the ruling class ever told him, then he's extremely naive because. To quote, Dave McGowan, who was on a show one time, and he was talking about CIA involvement in Laurel Canyon during the... Yeah. He suddenly stopped in the middle of his talk. I believe it was the Maria Heller show, and he goes, "They've never told us the truth about anything." Mm-hmm. And she's like, "What?" He goes, No. Now, this is a guy who researched this. And he just suddenly, it hit him. No, they've never told you the truth about anything.
Anything.
So is it any wonder that there's some people out there, especially Christians, who believe the earth is flat? After a while, they actually start questioning it. Of course, they don't have a scientific mind, so they don't know. But it's good that this guy is actually listening. You know, that's why, you know, a lot of people don't.
I should actually probably feel bad for that guy because, like you said, the fact that he is listening tells you something. You know what might actually be happening in his mind? This goes on a lot with Christians. When they hear, and if he's been listening for a while, he knows there's good reason to question that goddamn religion. What happens a lot of times is when they hear stuff like that, deep down inside, a light turns on. They know something's wrong, but they get angry. I got angry when I first found this out. So maybe he's taking his frustrations out on me because I'm the one who alerted him to this. He can't stop listening because he wants to hear more. He knows that there's something wrong. He doesn't want to hear it, but yet he does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's it. That's what it is, because if he's, you know, and it should be pointed out that if he's so secure in his religion, then what does he fear?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
There's no reason to fear anything. That's, I always tell people that. You know, if you know, if you really sincerely know what you know, listen, I'm never going to, you know, I'll never call you up. I don't expect you to agree with me on everything, and I hope, you know, it's the same way. You know it's not going to happen. And that's good, because what the only thing we're really looking to do is to get enough information and knowledge about any given subject, and then to decide for ourselves whether it's true or not.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I have a friend, and he complimented me one time because I don't agree with him about certain aspects of UFOs, but he has to arrive at the point where I am eventually. I know he's going to, but that's, you know, it.
We do apologize for this sudden break in programming, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, what happens is we lost connection during the broadcast. There was no reason for it that we could see. It's the first time it's actually happened in this way. It was very unorthodox. Usually, if we're going to have problems, it's going to be something like audio on the side of the host or just something simple. But this time, for some reason, within the studio, we actually lost the line. So henceforth, we lost the internet connection. So allow me to play just a little bit of audio for you until we bring Charles back on. Thank you.
Do you love listening to Renegade Broadcasting? Then why not help spread the word by wearing some of our fashionable and comfortable clothing or purchasing some hats, stickers, posters, beer steins, and more? There are lots of different designs and color options for you to choose from. This is not the cheap swag that you might be used to, but real, high-quality products that last. The links to the Zazzle and Spreadshirt shops run by Thunderhammer Designs are on the left-hand sidebar of our site. Show the world you're a renegade.
Kyle Hunt here, host of The Solar Storm, a radio show with lots of interesting guests, unique analysis, important topics, and essential inspiration. You will learn how our world got to this sorry state and how we can work together to fix it, starting down the road to a better future for us and future generations. I know it can seem hopeless sometimes, but the sleeping giant has awoken. Now things are getting interesting. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on Renegade Broadcasting.
On 107.9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
All right, everybody. I hope everything's back up and running. Jesus, unbelievable. That is so bizarre. I've never seen that before. I've seen other, you know, callers drop, and I have dropped, but I've never seen Oracle drop. Anyway, I don't know if Sean is by his computer, but hopefully everything on your end is okay now, Sean. Jeez, man, oh man, oh man.
Can you hear me there, Charles?
Oh yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that, sir. For some reason, we just totally lost internet altogether. I don't know why. There's no reason for it. But the entire phone line went down. The modem wouldn't sync. So therefore, we lost internet as well. But we should
wow.
be. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Stuxnet.
Sorry.
Sounds like a Stuxnet problem.
Well, you know, usually as of late, we haven't had any troubles whatsoever. I mean, as you know, we recently suffered floods here, and even with the floods, the connection stayed up rock solid. So I'll get with my ISP after the broadcast, and I'll find out exactly what happened there.
Yeah, very strange. That's new.
Yes, it is. It is indeed. Please continue your show, sir.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. All right, well, we're back up and running anyway. Hopefully we weren't down for too long. But, wow, that really sucks. I heard a little jingle in the background, and when I checked the screen, I thought it was maybe Vinny or another caller calling in to listen. But no, when I saw the studio go gray. I'm like, whoa, what the hell is that? Anyway, but yeah, like Vinny was saying, our little religious caller there, when people call in like that with anger in their voice right from the start, that tells you that they're on the defensive. They feel, you know, injured because their religion is getting attacked. So they jump to the on the defensive right from the start. Why do you have to do that if you're in the right? If your religion is true, if it's the one way to salvation, why, you have Almighty God behind you, don't you? So what is your fear? What do you care if your religion is getting attacked? If it's so sound and solid, no vigorous attack launched by anyone or any group of people could ever pose it a threat, right? But when you call in and you're angry, you feel threatened. You feel the need to defend your religion. Why? Because deep down inside, you know it's indefensible. You know that you're backed into a corner and you have no defense. So you have to attack that person. You have to attack, you know, what they're saying to try to demonize them and express anger toward them. When in reality, once again, if there was any truth to your religion, you should be compassionate to that person more than any other, because they seem like they're more hellbound than most other people who are just indulging in sin. But this person is actually attacking your religion and your God. That's how lost he is. He needs more love and compassion. Jesus Christ, man. Didn't the great Jesus say to love your enemies? I'm supposed to be your enemy, Bible dupe, right? So where's the love? You must think I'm your brother, because Jesus said to hate them. Hate your brothers and sisters and your mother and your father. It's okay to love to hate them, but love your enemies. So you're not following Jesus at all. Unless I was your brother, then you'd be justified in hating me, because Jesus did in fact say to hate your family members. But he said to love your enemy. So you should be loving me. He must consider me his brother. That's so endearing. Christ Almighty, man. Again, what a fucked up religion. So can you expect otherwise? But like I said, I should feel sorry for people like that. The fact that he's continuing to tune into the show, he must be going through a tremendous inner conflict. So I should feel sorry for him, remembering the inner conflict that I went through years back when I finally figured this shit out. It did put me in a tailspin. So maybe I should take him off the ban list and invite him to call in and have a counseling session on air. Jesus Christ, man. You know, if that is in fact the case and you're still listening, buddy, I do feel sorry for you. I've been there. But you need to stop taking out your frustrations on people that are trying to wake you up and actually look into the matter. Finally step over the fence, stop dangling on the fence, and finally admit that you have in fact been duped in a most horrible, despicable way. To take advantage of people's sincerities is one of the most unforgivably evil things you can do to somebody. And that's all religious hucksters do. That's what the Christian religion itself does. They take everything that is good in a person and use that, exploit that, and use it against them. Son of a bitch. So goddamn evil. Anyway, we got another caller. Welcome to the show, caller.
Charlie, did you figure it out who...
How many phones do you have?
Who's eating them, Charlie?
Talk about something else besides your religious.
You were going to be a priest, weren't you?
Hey, how's Jesus working for you these days? How many wonderful things has he done?
You were
going
to be a pastor. You don't know who Edom is.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care anything about what your book says.
I know you don't care,
because
you're a Jew.
For the bullshit that it is. Because
you're a Jew. And you might even be a gay Jew.
Yeah, okay, buddy. I bet you wish I was. I bet you wish I was. Okay. Anyway, let's see. How many phones does this fucking guy have? Let's see. Anyway, goodbye, good riddance. I don't have patience for that crap. Eat him. In case you don't know, he's a Christian identity freaking nutball. And so, you know, his whole worldview, his understanding of the tribal problem is based around his interpretation of the bullshit book. I covered that years ago. I'm not going to get into it now. But they believe, just very briefly, they believe that they, as Christian identists, are the real Jews, and that the Jews running the world are Edomites. They're not real Jews. And so his desire, the desire of Christian identists in general, is that they, it's their hope that one day, it's their belief that actually they are one day going to rule the world. And when they do, they will rule it with every bit as much ruthlessness as the tribe today is ruling this world. But it'll be okay when they do it, because they're the real Jews. Can you imagine? So their objection, how fucked up is that, ladies and gentlemen? Their objection to what the tribe is doing to us is not based on their detestation of what they're doing. It's based on their detestation of the fact that it's them doing it. You understand? So they don't have any qualms with the evils the tribe is doing, given the chance they would be doing these same evils. But it would be okay because it would be them doing it instead of the tribe. Holy fucking mindfuck. Stripped of all its rhetorical bullshit, that's what Christian identity is all about. How dare these fake Jews do this to us? We should be the ones doing this to the world. That's it right there. That's it. That's what it means. So I don't give a shit about any of your rhetoric. All you do when you call into the show is just embarrass yourself and expose your religion all the more for the world to see. And thank you for that. Thank you for that. I'm sure the listeners greatly appreciate you exposing your hypocrisy. But once again, all you're doing is making even more of an ass out of yourself and your fucking religion. Did you sense the love from that caller? Anyway. Let me finish this quote up from this article. As Jim Bob Bob Duggar spoke while his subservient wife stayed quiet. Notice, they even point this out. His wife is subservient. Of course, that's what they teach. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that wives or husbands, for that matter, should be obnoxious and rebellious either. But they teach wives, you know, and this is based on shit that Paul wrote, to basically shut their mouths, let their husbands control everything. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. It's unseemly for a woman to even talk in a church. So a lot of these real conservative nutbag Christian religions frown upon women, you know, saying anything in church. Only the men are supposed to do the talking. It's pretty fucking pathetic. Anyway, the article continues. He claimed, the husband, that child molestation is common in Christian families, especially the families he sought advice from in the wake of learning that Josh, his son, molested four of his own, four of them while they slept. Oh, Jesus, I didn't know it was four of them. Holy fuck, man, I thought it was only one. I had forgotten. I put these notes together a while ago. Holy shit. Wow, man. But notice what he said in the course of talking with other church members, you know, to get their advice and to ask for their prayers, whatever. He discovered that this problem is common in Christian families. Apparently, not only in his immediate church family, but he's implying that he talked to, you know, Christian families in other surrounding churches. Yes. This is a common problem across the board, across the country, and across the world within Christianity. It is a common problem, and it stems from the religion itself. How many times do you have to see things like this happening, Bible dupes, before you finally realize the problem is with your religion itself? It is not a moral religion. Oh, it pays a lot of lip service to morality. Sure, it talks about moralism all the time. But the way it plays out, it is not moral. It is downright, damn right, immoral. It breeds immorality because of its legalism and fanaticism. The article then quoted Duggar as saying this. Listen to this. It was a very difficult situation, but as we talked to other Christian parents and different ones since then, a lot of families said that they had similar things that happened in their families. Interestingly, but so very predictably, Bob Duggar forgave his son. Well, you know, I can understand you forgiving, but forgiving to the point where you drop it and move on. Your son needs to be in prison. And I don't understand how the state didn't step in and, well, I don't know the whole story. Maybe he did go to trial, but the message I got was that the whole thing was dropped. No charges were pressed by the parents. But in a case like this, child molestation, unless he was a minor at the time, he was, I guess, quite a bit older than sisters. But if he was a minor at the time, maybe the state probably didn't step in. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I would do, actually, in a situation like if the son was a minor. I don't know. I'd be so goddamn disgusted. I would say, you know, to my son, I forgive you, but I don't know that I would even want to. I don't know. To be around him, I'd just be so goddamn disgusted. I would make damn sure that he got some serious help for his problem. That's for damn sure. Maybe after he underwent some intensive therapy, and of course, you want to make sure you're getting proper therapy, not fucking medication and not psychobabble bullshit. Wow, man, that would be a tough one to call. But this is what happens in Christian circles, guys, because they believe so much in, quote, forgiveness. They act like nothing happened. Let me tell you, we got a caller again before I go to him. Let me just tell this quick story. When I went to my seminary, when I first registered, by law, you know, every college has to tell you if any crimes have been committed in the past year. They told me no crimes were committed, but I wasn't there for a month, and I had already been told several stories of rapes that had occurred on campus in the past year, but they didn't get reported to the media. They didn't get reported to the police. The hierarchy at the college convinced the victims to not press charges by telling them that this is only going to bring, a bad reputation on this college. And this is, you know, a godly institution. We don't want to give the outside world the wrong impression, you know, blah, 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 blah. They convinced them to, quote, forgive. Isn't that what Jesus would want? So nothing ever was done. These rapists, they were thrown out of school, but they never got brought to justice, ladies and gentlemen. This is what fucking Christianity will do. Amongst other crazy shit, this is what this fucked up religion will do. Anyway, welcome to the show, caller.
Yeah, I called back. Because we got cut off. But there was, you know, one of the things I wanted to really, like I said, it's really cool that a guy called back. you know, you cut him off, I understand, but maybe if he listens to I'd like to recommend it to him if he's out there listening.
You know why I hung up again? Because that's all he wants to talk about is his bullshit religion. Who was Edom? Who was Edom? I don't have time for that. No, knock it off. Call
something intelligent
or shut the fuck up. What's that?
No, that's that I understand.
Yeah,
he
wants
to talk about things. But what he doesn't, he has to understand something about, you know, he has to realize that by the purest of chance, he was born into his religion. And he completely believes it, and as you've shown, because of your shows, it's basically inadequate. It doesn't explain anything.
No.
It certainly doesn't tell us anything about the world that we live in.
It doesn't explain, and it doesn't resolve anything either, for all of its lip service about all these promises, ask and you shall receive. Bullshit.
Yeah, that's right. It actually, that's what it says.
Right.
You know, anything will come to you if you believe.
Knock and it shall be open. Yeah, whatever.
Well, that's why it's so funny, you know, how many times has his prayers been answered? How many times has an amputee's answered, and it's never been answered? You know, I'm sure they prayed to God. But see, it's simple things like that that he doesn't really understand. You have to consider the inadequacy of your religion, and they all suffer from the same problem.
Yep.
None of them are adequate. They were really adequate years ago, when we didn't understand what we were looking at. But today, they just don't fit. And that's
why, like you said, fit it to their own selves, let alone other people.
That's why during this past summer, I went down to the beach with my girlfriend, and we were watching. We have a wonderful place where we go where there's a jetty, and there's a river inlet and outlet, you know. So we watched, I told her to watch this one boat going over the horizon, and I says, if you watch, you'll actually notice that you'll see the top of the boat disappearing, which is what the flat earthers can't tell you about.
Break. You want to hold on, Vin?
Yeah, I'm going to hold on.
Yeah, sure. All right, guys, stick with us. Be right back. My body started shaking and I can't take no more.
Kyle Hunt here, host of The Solar Storm, a radio show with lots of interesting guests, unique analysis, important topics, and essential inspiration. You will learn how our world got to this sorry state and how we can work together to fix it, starting down the road to a better future for us and future generations. I know it can seem hopeless sometimes, but the sleeping giant has awoken. Now things are getting interesting. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on Renegade Broadcasting.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Before the break, you were relating a story, Ben. I've forgotten now what you're saying.
I probably forgot it myself. But anyway, I've always tried to impress on my children, and luckily I got through to my two sons, when the subject of religion came up, I told them that I was an atheist. But I told them, I says, this is how I see the world. I said, I'm not telling you this is the way it is because I don't want to think for you. So what I told my kids is, I want you to examine all the religions out there, you know, and then you decide for yourself whether any of them are adequate or worthwhile. I said, but, you know, I'm not going to tell you that you should be an atheist. I really don't, because, people should have that freedom, but without information. And that's what most religious people don't understand, is they don't have that freedom to choose for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's and simply, like you were talking about, the suppression of sex, it just screws every aspect of our society. You know, there's a story that Jacques Fresco talks about where somebody he knew suffered from premature ejaculation. So what he did is he went to a psychiatrist with the problem, and the psychiatrist said, I want you to concentrate on what you think is one of the most disgusting things in your life, and try to think about that when you're having sex, and what you'll find out is it delays your orgasm. So the guy, in the case of this guy, he thought about changing a tire.
I think about shoes. It works for me.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's whatever it is. If anything's going to keep you soft, the Jew's going to do it too. Yeah. Especially with the curly hair and the yarmulke. But hey, don't forget, you know, there's the Wizard of Rome. He has a yarmulke too.
Yeah.
So I used to get people be mad at me because I would always call the Pope the Wizard of Rome. And people I know are Roman Catholics. And how dare you say that? I'm just saying, look at the big hat and the staff he has.
Yeah, that speaks for itself.
He looks like a wizard to me.
Yeah. You know? That and his little fish head, the crown he
wears. There you go, on the fish head. That's right. Yeah, but it's fascinating. So anyway, this guy decided to take, so he thought about changing a tire, and how disgusting you get because the tire's dirty and your hands get filthy and everything up. And it worked. But the problem is, if he was riding down the road and there was somebody fixing a flat, he'd get an erection.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens with us, especially men. We become imprinted, in the society imprints certain things. And we learn our sexuality that way. For whatever reason, we really don't know why, but we do. So, that you know, it's something to consider, you know, what makes people, what stimulates people, what doesn't stimulate people. And it's just whatever culture.
Yep.
Like I've said in the past, there are women in Africa that have plates in their mouth, rings around their neck, and men fall in love with them. But they have no choice. That's what their culture teaches them. So what are you going to fall in love with? You know, that's the way that works.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not surprising that these things happen. It's like young boys, a lot of times, they don't get enough attention from their father. So they don't learn the same things. It's very common amongst, like, third boys And so they start hanging out with mom and their sisters, and they start acting feminine. And where are you going to learn your sex from?
Right.
You know, their girlfriends or whatever. You know, if you're not pointed in a certain direction, it's not surprising that people turn out the way they are.
A lot of gay adults were also abused by their fathers. So
like I said before, that's the ones that come forth about the priest that really abuse them.
Right. And I'm not even talking sexual abuse. I'm talking about, you know, just verbal.
Exactly.
Abuse.
Yeah, but imagine a priest that not only abuses the boy, you know, if it's not a pleasurable event, you know, it's not going to be fun. The same thing with women. A lot of times women turn away from men because they go out with a few men and they have very violent relationships with them. And they find that if they're with a woman, the woman is more caring.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's the women we've met in our lives that are totally crazy. But we're not going to talk about that.
yeah, I've had enough of those. But, you know, my ex, my late brother-in-law, who was a homosexual, he blamed his father. His father was very verbally, not physical or anything else, but verbally abusive. And because of that, he, you know.
Exactly.
Discovered that
that's very common.
Very
sad. Yeah, what happens is you start asking yourself, do I really want to be like that?
Yeah. And his father certainly didn't intend for that to happen, you know. He probably didn't think yelling at his kid was going to have that effect. You know, he's just doing what he thought was best for him, you know.
Yeah, well, that's, again, just like we're victims of our culture, so are our parents.
Yeah.
So I never blamed my parents for their shortcomings. Because we're all human. We're all trying to learn. And if you live in a suppressive society, which this is a suppressive society.
Sure.
You know, it's not honest at all with us. It's, you know, it's amazing how destructive it is. It really is. I mean, the fact that we may have World War II in a couple of months, and that our options for president are a groper.
What a great situation.
An egomaniac that likes to grope women, yeah. or a psychopath. A woman who's a psychopath, you know, what kind of choice in life do we really have in life? This is insane. This is insane, really. It's just something that it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But there's one last thing I want to relate with you, only because I related it with somebody that just recently, and it concerned 9/11 and the way I am, because just like you, I'm considered crazy by normal people.
So-called normal.
But of course, the problem is normal people really don't know how to think for themselves, so they're so used to having other people think for them. So I told this one guy to watch the movie Zeitgeist and the next two, and to look into the Venus Project. And he comes to me a couple of days later and he said he watched all the films like three times each, and he's like, why are we doing this shit now? You know, why are we playing this game? So I said, a lot of people go to the Venus Project down in Florida, and they don't even understand why the buildings are built the way they are. This is how ridiculous our society is. And they've been built since the 1970s, the buildings at the Venus Project.
Yeah.
But I said, most people don't know that the reason why they look the way they do is that they're hurricane-proof. Now, I want to make you understand, you need to realize how stupid our society is. You'd think that somebody would have figured that out.
Yeah.
And said, well, we live down in Florida. Maybe we should build our house this way, and so that when hurricanes come, they don't rip the roofs off of the house.
Right.
You know, because they're globed. The houses are half globes, so that the wind doesn't affect them. Sorry. But I said, this is just an example of how stupid we are.
No common sense. Yeah.
Yeah, all we do is keep doing the same thing and wondering why the same problem occurs. The
definition of insanity.
Yeah, we do the same thing over and over. So anyway, so I was telling him an instance. I said, I have two daughter-in-laws, and one of them actually got me and my son together because me and my wife had a bad breakup. And so, you know how it works, kids start siding. So
yeah.
She got me and him back together, and you know, he realized that, you know, I wasn't the bad guy. He knows now how it is. But everybody has to come to reality on their own account. So anyway, here's the problem. Every time they go out, they go on a plane, and they travel somewhere, Homeland Security pulls him out of the aisle and strip searches him completely. And so one of these times, and all he does is smiles. That's all he does. So after like the third time that this happened in the last 5 years, my daughter-in-law says, "Do you know why this is happening to you? Do you know why?" And he goes, "Yeah, I know why." And he goes, she says, "Why are you laughing?" "It's because of your father. You know that, right?" And so my son just smiles at her and says, "I don't think you really get it. This is happening to me because my dad is right." Yeah. Then she just like looked at him for a moment. Because if I'm crazy, why would they be searching my son?
Right.
Yeah, you understand my point.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I wanted to share that with your audience because it's one thing to know about 9/11, and then it's another thing to know everything about 9/11. But don't worry about the fact that we're crazy, because maybe we're not.
I used to, you know, like when I would go on a pal talk, whatever, I used to really piss people off when I got insulted by a jerk. I would say, you know, that is the highest compliment, to be insulted by the likes of you, because if you actually paid me a compliment, that would tell me I must be a piece of shit like you are. But the fact that you insult me tells me, you know, that I'm doing my job right. So thank you very much for that highest compliment.
So what I've learned, I still to this day, I'll post stuff about 9/11 and other subjects, and I get attacked like you got attacked. But what I do now, I understand. I immediately realize that there's no way I could communicate with any of these people if I insult them. They're not going to listen to me at all.
Yeah.
So what I do is I try my best to post physical evidence, things like 9/11, because I know most people didn't even see any. They don't know anything about 9/11. But if a person really gets in an insulting situation, then what I tell them is to graze peacefully.
Yeah.
And that usually gets them upset as hell, because I say something like that. But I try not to, because these people, I know where they're coming from, and then people will say I'm being condescending. But you know, when you post Building 7 and people don't know what it is, and they're asking you, what does that mean, or what does this mean? You know, you're the one with this big ego, and you know everything. You tell me what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to tell you. How can I possibly tell somebody that doesn't know, thinks they know everything? You can't really do anything like that.
Yeah.
That's why that guy is so cool. It's a shame that he's mad at you. He really should be mad at the fact that everybody, including his government and his religious leaders, have lied to him.
Yeah.
It's not our fault. You know, we didn't do anything. You know, you're just pointing out how ridiculous the Bible is.
Yeah.
And other religious.
We're taking away his pacifier.
He doesn't get that. What?
We're taking away his pacifier.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, hey, listen, if you don't want to, and if he's listening, hey, if you don't want to learn something, and if you want to hold on to that illusion and that myth that you've been told, don't listen to this show anymore, because it's eventually going to get to you where you realize that
you've been lied
to about everything, you know. Who knows? He's gonna, if he's, something's interesting him to change his number. You know, so he, you know, who knows? This may be going on. He might be one of your best callers in about 6 months. Because that's how it works.
We can hope.
You know, where
I
are you
going to
learn
it? It's hopeless.
You're only going to be able to listen and learn something from you. I mean, if I can't learn anything from Alex Jones.
Yeah.
You know, how can you possibly talk about the fake left-right paradigm and then tell me that Ron Paul's going to do something?
Oh, God.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to go, Charlie.
All right, thanks.
Keep up the good work, Charlie. Hey,
oh, you bet.
Stay black.
Yeah.
Stay black.
Take care, man. Yeah, right. All right, guys. Let's get back to this quote here. Actually, I finished the quote. I wanted to make this point. You're going to love this one. We were just talking about the Duggars, right? And the father admitting that so many other Christian families he has discovered has this same problem, of course. But once again, you got to ask, when the hell are they going to finally realize, or are they ever going to realize, that the problem stems from the religion itself? If you're seeing so many other Christian families having this same problem, hello? But check this out, guys. Bob Duggar, the father, ran for political office back in 2002, at which time one of his campaign themes, he was pushing for a bill in Arkansas that called for the execution of people who committed incest. Did you catch that? One of his platforms while running for office in Arkansas, he was calling for the execution of people who commit incest. And yet, when his son was caught doing that very thing, he simply forgave him. Holy shit. Once again, is this religion not a monstrously hypocritical collection of horse shit? Can you think of a better example than that of hypocrisy? Look at this. Unbelievable. Oh, you got a change of tune now, Mr. Duggar, don't you? And what could have inspired that? What he's saying is he had no problem as of 2002 with executing other people's family members caught committing incest. But now that one of his own family members, oh, well, no death penalty there. Wow. It's time for a change, ladies and gentlemen. We have been duped by this religion, and, well, so many other religions too. But here in this country, we have been duped by Christianity and held back by this fucknut religion for way, way too long. If we're ever going to make a better world for ourselves, of absolute vital necessity, that must involve shedding ourselves from bullshit philosophies like this. You cannot advance forward humankind as long as you're embracing shit like this. Well, look where it came from, and that should tell you why it's shit right there alone. But anyway, the Duggars have also stated on numerous occasions that gays and lesbians are a danger to children. Oh, really? And how about your religion, Duggar family? Once again, they pawn themselves off as so moral, and yet they turn around and admit that incest is very big in Christian homes. They love to condemn, gays and lesbians, they're a danger to children. And yet all the while, in the next breath, they admit that incest is common in Christian homes. Is somehow incest more acceptable? Is it okay? Because, well, after all, he didn't molest his little brothers. He wasn't a homosexual. It was a heterosexual molestation, so that makes it okay. A heterosexual incest. Holy fucknut, man. Look at the brazen hypocrisy. Absolutely disgusting. Anyway. The classic Yahwehian exceptionalism, isn't it though, guys? That if it's in the context of a Christian home, incest is okay. Let's kill everybody else who commits that crime. But if it's within our home, a fellow Christian, we have to forgive them. I'm not even exaggerating. That is how a lot of them think. Well, he has repented and asked Jesus for forgiveness. So we'll forgive him. Everybody else needs to get the death sentence, though. That's the message. As long as you say that you've asked Jesus for forgiveness, just like the tribe guys all during the Dark Ages, they would expel you from this, that, and the other country. But if you claim to be a converso, all you had to do was say you converted to Christianity. It didn't matter that you were still practicing Judaism, behind closed doors. If you said you were a Christian, they would accept you. They fell for that bullshit. Because they're a bunch of gullible, dumb fucking asses. Hey, let's face it. If you can believe in, people that have superhuman strength as long as they don't cut their long hair, or a guy that can shack up in the belly of a big fishy for 3 days and live to talk about it. Well, yeah, I guess you can believe a Jew who says he's converted to Christianity, who lies just to save his ass so he can continue to rape and pillage your fucking country and get away with it as long as he says he's a Christian. I guess you can believe anything. And they do believe just about anything. Religion, ladies and gentlemen, especially this one, is nothing but mind control. Mind control is the ability to manipulate someone and get them to believe outrageously ridiculous, nonsensical bullshit that other people with rational thinking minds would never accept, would instantly recognize as the bullshit that it is. Mind control is the ability, though, to get people to believe those ridiculous, nonsensical things that cause you to check your brain at the door and not use critical analysis and you know, common sense thinking, what used to be called common sense. That's what religion does. It gets you to believe the outlandish, the ridiculous, the nonsensical. That's what mind control is. That's what religion is. That's what Christianity is. You believe in nonsensical things. I actually had a Christian once admit that his religious beliefs did not involve, you know, reason and common sense. He admitted it. Irrational, actually, was the word he used. He admitted his religious belief system was irrational. But his defense of that was to say that faith transcends all of that. It doesn't involve rational thinking. We are told to just accept by faith, because it does transcend the rational mind. Can you fucking believe that? He was comfortable with believing in irrational things. And indeed, that's what all Bible dupes are comfortable with. Whether they admit it's irrational or not, it doesn't matter. It is irrational. And they're comfortable with that. They're comfortable with believing things that don't stand up to close scrutiny, that can, in fact, easily be refuted once exposed to close scrutiny. And they call that using the carnal mind. You need to be led by the Spirit, i.e., you need to check your brain at the door. I got a show coming up on that at some point. I don't know when. Not a part of this current series, but I got a show coming up on how the Bible is a mind control manual. That's all it is. Mind control. Pure, unadulterated mind control. A lot of Christians, you know, that aren't suckers for the media, that recognize the media is a bunch of lies, you know, they'll look at Fox News, for example, and marvel how people can believe such ridiculous things. But are you not doing the same thing, hypocritical Christian, when you try to pawn off your bullshit fairy tale religious beliefs on others? That's not the same thing. Of course it is. So I can cheer you on when you talk about Fox News and how it's a bunch of bullshit. You marvel how people can follow that. But God damn it. Could you please be just a little bit more honest and admit that's what you're doing when you pawn off your bullshit faith? Wow. Anyway. The Patheos.com website carried an article called "Does Religion and Not Just Catholicism Produce More Than Its Fair Share of Child Abusers?" It concluded that, quote, "Religion in general is often a child abuse breeding ground." Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, guys, Catholicism, more than any other, creates this problem. Christianity does this across the board, but Catholicism is most dangerous, especially with the clergy, because they require their clergy to take the vow of celibacy, which is complete fucking bullshit. Yeah, Paul said it's better, you know, if you can be like me and not be married, but he also said it's better to marry than to burn, i.e. to burn with lust. So he didn't forbid marriage. He simply said it's better so you can dedicate yourself to the Lord's service. Whatever. But they come along and say, no, you must take the vow of celibacy to be a priest. It's required. You can't ever get married. What a fucking crockery that is. What a crockery. And so guess what happens? When you are forced to suppress your natural sexual tendencies, you're not allowed to express them. Guess what happens? They're going to pervert. They're going to manifest themselves in all kinds of unwholesome ways, which is why not only pedophilia, but down through the centuries, there have been rapes of women in the confessionals. A lot of priests have been gay. You have that problem in the monasteries. A lot of monks are gay. That's all they see all day long, 24/7, is men. Just like when you lock men up in a prison, the same thing. A lot of them wind up going gay. This religion breeds homosexuality as well as other perverse sexual practices. It breeds it. Anyway, this article gave several reasons as to why they think child abuse runs so high in religion. And I concur with all of them. Could even add a few more to the list. But anyway, here's some of those reasons. Number one, a feeling of divine empowerment. I don't know what's happening. A caller dropped. He called back in to listen, and he dropped again. That's weird. Anyway, a feeling of divine empowerment. In other words, I can do anything, God is with me, and I can get away with it because fellow believers are obliged to forgive me. Yes, absolutely. We saw that with the Duggars, didn't we? That's all too common, guys. Like I mentioned, the college I went to, Christian college. The two rape victims of the previous year when I had registered were told by college officials to not press charges, don't call the police, because it's going to give this college a bad name and it's going to do disservice to the cause of Jesus. So they dropped the whole matter. They didn't call the cops. No justice was brought. All they did is throw those two students out. Fucking unbelievable, man. And so what does this say to the potential child molester or rapist or whatever? It tells them that, hey, I can get away with this in a Christian context. They're not going to call the police on me, and I can be free to do it again. That's the message that priests have gotten, isn't it? When they realize that, hey, all they're going to do is send me to another diocese so I can just do my shit there. And then after that, if I get caught, they'll send me to another diocese. This is how they've gotten away with this for so friggin' long, guys. So yes, this article's assessment that religion gives sexual predators a feeling of power, of divine empowerment. It's absolutely true. It does. It does. It goddamn does. Number two, another reason they give. Sexual repression. Yes, that's absolutely true. We already covered that. You know, how Christians hold sex outside of marriage as such a taboo that it creates in the believer a powerful sense of sexual frustration, like a dam ready to burst. More conservative Christian families are, the more likely their kids are to go off the deep end once they turn 18. They've been repressed for so long. All right, guys, short break, right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, here at RenegadeBroadcasting.com, we don't advertise commercially, meaning that we don't have any corporate entities or companies that pay us money to advertise. We do our own advertising just to spread the message further. So, for instance, we might advertise about how bad vaccines are for you, so on and so forth. However, none of the content that we present to you free of charge comes free to us. It especially doesn't come free to Kyle. Click on Kyle's picture over there at renegadebroadcasting.com and donate what you can, wherever you can. Thank you.
Christian parents, folks, for the most part, are entirely oblivious to reality. They live in a fantasy world, not only because of their bullshit religious beliefs, but those bullshit religious beliefs have given them such a false view of the real world and how it operates. Kids are going to experiment with sex. That's just reality, okay? Some of them very early on, others later on in their teens, it doesn't matter. They're going to do it. All you can do as a parent, you can't stop that. It's going to happen. All you can do as a parent is teach them to be responsible. But if you repress them, you have set them up for failure. I'm telling you right now, you set them up for failure. If you try to lock them in their room 24/7, don't let them hang out with friends. And if you do, it's got to be under your supervision, and you never give them trust. Just that alone. The kids aren't stupid. They're going to see that you don't trust them. They're not going to appreciate those moral standards that you tried to instill in them now. They're going to resent them. They're going to want to rebel against them. And your desire to keep them pure and innocent is actually going to accomplish the very opposite. It is a recipe for fucking disaster. If you want to fuck your kids up and ensure that they go off the deep end, that's how to do it. That's how to do it. Be fanatical, lock them in their room, watch every move they make, and they will become the very antithesis of what you were trying to do for them, to instill in them. Happens every time. This is what way too many Christian parents do to their kids. You wonder why, problems like incest are so common in Christian homes? That's fucking why right there. It's one thing to want to raise your kids with high moral standards. That's great. But to do it in such a way that you monitor them 24/7 and oppressively monitor every fucking thing they do, forget it. You've lost them. Your goddamn fanatical, out of touch with reality religious beliefs have fucked them. You know, that family I mentioned that did, in fact, raise their kids very strict in that very way, kept them in their eyesight constantly. And then once they were 18, the daughter was pregnant, the son was into drugs, blah, blah, blah. These kids had resentment toward their parents. And it's not that their parents were abusive and were bad people. No, they were actually high moral standard people. And they were very kind to their kids. They didn't verbally or physically abuse them. But they were so goddamn strict with them. They resented their parents. Resented them. Pretty pathetic. That's what religion will do for you. Oh, it'll do a lot of other bad things too. But, you know, that's one of the many bad things religion will do for you. Fucks kids right up. The parents themselves are fucked up. And because of that, they fuck their kids up too. But sadly, very, 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 very few will ever realize that the cause of all their woes is their fucking religion itself. It's so sad, you know. Here's the Duggars admitting that other Christian families have had this problem. Many of them. It's a common thing, they said, among Christian families. But are they ever going to stop to realize that it's their fucking religion? No. No, they can't go there. They can't admit that. Anything but that. Anyway. The number three reason given why incest and other sexual problems are common within religious realms, Christianity particularly. Well, before I get to that, looks like we got another caller here. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, good morning, Tony.
Hey, what's happening, man?
There's a flip side to this morality thing. A lot of people nowadays consider to be high moral standards is teaching their kids at the age of 5 or 6, you know, about homosexuality.
Oh, yeah, that's the other side of the coin, sure. Yeah, an equally deadly freaking mind game, yeah.
Teaching their white kids white guilt, you know. We're living in the intellectual dark ages right now is where we're at.
Yeah. It's one extreme or the other. Both sides are wrong. It's so pathetic, yeah.
It's to the point where I can't even hold a conversation with anybody anymore because, you know, they'll be right on one thing, but then they're so completely off base from another angle that I'm like, how do you wrap your mind around what you're saying?
Yeah, and the tribe brought us both of these philosophies, didn't they?
It's to the point where what point is it to be as informed and aware as we are? Because we're getting to the point where you're not even going to be able to talk to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Have you ever, check out these social justice warrior videos on YouTube and see how bad it is. These people can't be reasoned with.
No, they're gone.
They will scream in your face. A white guy telling another white guy, you're a fucking white male. What the hell is going on here?
Gee.
I'm almost lost.
Yeah. But, I whittled down my circle of friends now quite a bit over the years. Not intentionally, that's just how it has played out. But you know what? I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. I'd rather have just a few good friends than a bunch of asshole friends anyway, and that's what most of them turned out to be. And it's mostly because of my stance on people just can't handle reality. They don't want to be around someone like me that knows how this fucking world works and doesn't put up with the bullshit. You know, they want to be lied to. They want to be told that everything's fine. Just go along with the flow. That's all they want to talk about is nonsensical, meaningless bullshit when they get together. Fuck them. Those people aren't worth my time.
No, I'm the same way. I used to work with a girl. She's a hardcore liberal. She's a, you know, sweetheart. But, you know, she just had her head right up her ass.
Yeah.
And one day I said, you know, one thing you liberals and conservatives have in common is you even one of you can stand the truth. Boy, she turned 5 days of red.
Yeah,
but it's true, and they just—it's cognitive dissonance from every angle.
Very sad. They've done a thorough job, haven't they? Mind control—they're all under mind control, literally.
Anyway, good show, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Mind control, ladies and gentlemen, that's all it is. These people are masters at it, whether it's through their media or through their so-called holy book. It doesn't matter. The results are the same. Whether parents are teaching their kids that, homosexuality is okay. And if you want to get a sex change and whack off your pee-pee, chop off your pee-pee, that's fine. We're comfortable with that. We'll support you. It's either that extreme or the other one. Don't ever touch your pee-pee until you get married. And even then, only let your wife touch it. It's a sin. If you even once whack your pee-pee, you might go to hell. That's the other extreme. Both sides, even though they're totally opposed and on opposite ends of the stick from each other, they're both dead fucking wrong, and they're both going to fuck your kids. Both philosophies are going to fuck your kids right over. So, you know, the tribe doesn't care which opposite extreme, just like they don't care if you're a Republican who hates Democrats or a Democrat who hates Republican. Doesn't matter. As long as you're on one of those either ridiculous, way off the wall extremes, that suits them just fine. Be totally immoral or so, quote, moral that you're going to set your kids up to want to rebel and go to the other extreme. That's just fine by them. Pick either one. Anyway, here's the third reason given for why sexual abuse is so common in religious circles, Christian circles. Easy access to children who have been brainwashed into thinking that they can trust all adults who wave the Christian banner. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, a lot of priests who have lured kids in have actually told them that this isn't a sin. You know, I represent God, and this is what God wants. You know, whatever. They'll use Christian bullshit rhetoric to lure kids in. Kids have already been prepped for that, to look up to their ministers and other people in the church, right? And so if they're doing it, well, it must be okay. The fourth reason, the illogical nature of faith with its strange ritual practices is especially toxic for children, causing them to often be unable to distinguish between what is and what isn't acceptable. For example, some Christian churches, following Christ's example in the Gospels, observe a foot washing service. The Adventist Church is big on that. So ordinarily, children are told that certain forms of touch are not acceptable, but that's okay. They can, you know, touch your feet in the context of, but that can lead guys to unwholesome relationships. That can open the door to other things. Wash your feet. Give me a fucking break. I kid you not. And there's other churches too. I think the Nazarenes and a few other Christian churches do this. In fact, I'm quite amazed that all Christian churches don't do this, because Jesus said, he told his disciples that they were to do this, to follow his example, just like the communion thing, right? If they follow his example with the communion service, the bread and the wine, why aren't they following his example with the foot washing? I'll say stay the hell away from it. It's fucking evil. But if you've got to be consistent to follow the great Jesus, how come your church isn't doing the foot washing service? So, you know, there's quite a few churches that don't follow that. Again, that's just how it is. You know, they pick and choose. I like this passage, so I'm going to follow this. I don't like that one. I'm not going to follow that. Ah, what the fuck? But anyway, that's what they do, guys. Every quarter, the Adventist Church, they have the communion service. They don't do it every week. Catholic Church does it every fucking 5 minutes. Adventist Church does it every quarter, every 3 months. And they also, at the same time, just before or just after, whatever, they have this foot washing service. The men go into one room, the women in the other, and they take turns washing each other. It is so fucking bizarre. And again, you might say, well, what the hell, what do you need to wash the feet for if they just took a shower that morning? No, it doesn't matter. To them, it has a ceremonial purpose behind it. In fact, they call it the ordinance of humility. But guess what, guys? Guess what? There's a danger in it. It opens the door. It creates a bizarre, twisted intimacy between the two people that you take turns. You know, one washes your feet and then you turn around and wash his. What the fuck, man? I never felt comfortable with it. It always creeped me out, I have to tell you. I did participate in it because I thought, well, Jesus wants us to do this, but I never liked it. I never liked it. I didn't want to touch another guy's fucking feet, and I didn't want him touching mine. I always was creeped out by it. But anyway, my point is, this is an example. When kids are trained to do this kind of shit from the time they're young, this can open the door. You know, you can just imagine some pedophile prick telling a kid, hey, remember that foot washing service? You washed my feet and I washed yours. Well, there's another service. They don't really practice it in church like they should. Yeah, I'm just giving an example of where this can go. But, you know, why don't we try washing each other's legs? And you can just see where that fucking goes, right? Kids are prepped for this because they already see that the foot washing service is acceptable. Oh, yeah, well, why not? After all, the minister is saying this or the priest is saying this. So how bad can it be? Where ordinarily they would say, no, I was told not to let an adult touch me at all, you know, in bizarre ways. No, their minds are prepped. The door is swung wide open because of twisted religious bullshit like this. Baptism is another example where you dress down and put on this robe. That can open the door to some pretty twisted shit. Hey, let's rehearse your baptism. Why don't you get into your baptismal robe, and I'll show you how it's going to work. So when we do it, you'll already be prepared. You'll know what to expect. So go in this other room and get undressed and put this robe on. How about circumcision? This is something God commanded. Here, let me show you this passage. Do you know what circumcision means? Let me demonstrate. Let me show you. Are you circumcised? Oh, you don't know what that is? Well, here, let me show you. Oh, fuck. Jesus. God damn fucking religion, man. Fuck the whole thing, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let your kids get set up for failure. Don't let them get set up for being molested. Stay the fuck away. Statistics speak for themselves, ladies and gentlemen. Even Christians admit that child abuse runs rabid within Christian circles. It does! So why are you a part of something like that? Why are you letting your kids get exposed to something like that? Jesus fucking Christ, man. On that basis alone, forget opening the Bible to see all the problems in the goddamn thing. Just look at the toxic influences that it's had on so many people. Christians themselves admit it. Isn't that reason enough to stay the hell away from this shit? Anyway, reason number five the article gives. The unquestioning trust of the flock in its clergy. Not only children, but their parents as well are all too trusting of the men of the cloth. They let their kids go off with their ministers or their priests, you know, on outings or spend the day with them, you know, go help them, go door-to-door canvassing, whatever, you know. All too trusting of the men of the cloth. They dare not be untrusting of them because why? These are men of God. To not trust them would be on a par with not trusting Jesus. Wow. Is that pathetic? Reason number six, there is often a great reluctance to go to the police or to press charges, you know, when abuse occurs in the context of a church setting. Often they are even talked out of, you know, doing so, as I said, you know, with my college. Talked them out of even calling the police, let alone pressing charges. Parents are then reminded of all the good things that the church does and how going to the authorities will undo all of that. It'll destroy, you know, the church's reputation. Anyway, so now I'm telling you firsthand, guys, I've seen this. This is how it works. Christians give a free ride to these abusers as long as they say the magic words, oh, I have repented and asked Jesus for forgiveness. Oh, okay. Ordinarily, we'd call the police on you. In fact, we would call for you to receive the death sentence. But because you asked Jesus for forgiveness, fucking shit. According to the website of Dr. Sean Anderson, DocSean.com, who is himself a Christian, quote, Christians have a higher have higher divorce rates than non-Christians, according to a study by the Barna Research Group mentioned a little while ago. A study of 3,854 people indicated that, in general, the average divorce rate among self-identified born-again Christians, 27%, is higher than the average rate for all Americans, 25%, Americans in general. Baptists have the highest divorce rate of any denominational Christian group at 29%. Unbelievable, folks. For Baptists, that's 4% higher than the average population. For Christians in general, it's 2% higher for the average non-believing population. I would bet this is a Christian, so maybe he scaled it down. I bet it's even higher than that, but it doesn't matter. You shouldn't have a high divorce rate at all. You know, it should be 1 or 2 or 3% if this religion was so wonderful. Anyway.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Charlie.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, I wanted to call earlier, but I was on the road. With that caller and the Christian identity, made me think about the show you did, and I don't know if you covered it, on the duality in the Bible. I think that Esau, Edom, that whole thing is also an example of duality in the Bible.
Yeah.
How they use duality as a tool.
Oh,
what do
sure.
you think?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you got Jacob and Esau. Yeah. He grabbed his heel. One guy is the good one. One is the bad one. But you got to love it because they make the good guy the bad guy and the bad guy the good guy in that scenario. If you understand the whole story. It's unbelievable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, and Charlie, I want to, you know, just came to mind this creator or whatever, this deity. You would think that, you know, he could have built a better mousetrap. You know, when you think about the human body form, where the cold affects us, we've got to have food, we evacuate our waste. You know, why didn't he build us where we were almost like asexual, where we reproduce, you know, so we didn't have the apparatus where, you know, rape is even an issue. It's as if he designed us so that people can use, they use food as a weapon. We have to seek shelter. All these things, just the whole way the human body was designed in this environment. He could have done a better job. It's as almost as if he is evil. Not only talking about Yahweh, we know about that. But whoever this creator is, if there is one, he has to be evil.
Yeah, like he set us up for failure, gave us all these rules, but then set us up so that we would break them, so we'd have an excuse, you know, to roast our ass. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Charlie, I just wanted to make that brief comment, but great show as usual. I'm looking forward to your mind control in the Bible series. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, maybe I should do that as part of this one. I don't know.
All right. Yeah, the sooner the better.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks for the input.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, everybody.
You bet. Yeah, very good point, the Jacob and Esau story. I covered that a while back, but for those that aren't familiar, Jacob is depicted as the good guy, Esau the bad guy, but Jacob is the one who deceived his father, pretending to be Esau so he could steal his brother's inheritance. He did some other sleazy things too, but just on that basis alone. So Jacob now is the good guy when he fooled his dying father, you know, in his ailing senior years, his sight wasn't good, his hearing wasn't good. So he disguised himself to look like his brother. His father fell for it, gave him the blessing, and this is the one who's made a hero. Jesus fucking Christ, man. Once again, a little religious dupe caller earlier. So much for your question about who's Edom. Get the fuck out of here. Gee, this is the shit that they want to sell to you folks, to get you to praise demons and look down at heroes. You know, that's what that fucking book is all about. What a mind fuck. Look at the great Yah, the biggest prick of all. They not only want you to look up to him, they want you to worship that piece of shit. And to think that that's what I once did, I worshiped the great Jew in the sky. I can't believe it, guys. That is something I'll just never get over it. Can't believe I was so goddamn stupid to have fallen for that. So obvious. I marvel. How did I fall for that horse shit for so long? I don't know. Well, that's one of the reasons why I expend so much effort exposing this fucking thing. I want to make up for my past sins. All the people that I bullshitted all those years from the pulpit, I believed it was true at the time, but it doesn't matter. I have a guilt complex for pawning this shit off on people for so long. I want to undo the damage now. I owe society a debt. Anyway, but yeah, maybe I will do that mind control thing as part of this series. I don't want to belabor religion for too long at any given time, but because I've got several others that I'm going to be covering after this topic here, which obviously I'll be carrying into tomorrow's show. But this has to be said. Christian hypocrisy, guys, is yet another big problem with this religion. One of the biggest, actually. And it's something that they cannot deny. Even fellow Christians admit hypocrisy is a big problem in this religion. They admit that sexual abuse is a big problem in Christian homes. When are you going to admit to your own selves, never mind others, that the problem stems from your religion itself? All right, guys. Have a great day. We'll pick up there tomorrow. Take care.
Resurgence of anti-Gentilism, because at this time, Israel has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation. Israel is not going to be the monolithic society it once was, and Gentiles are going to be at the center of that. Israel is now going into multicultural mode. But without this change and without this transformation, Israel will not survive.